sing this tonight. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. Lord, I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to you were drawing a line in the sand, and I wanna be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, oh, this is my plea. Let the worshipers sons and the daughters sing. Oh, I'm surrendering my all. Oh, I surrender to the King. Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed. Every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song
to our King.
Song to the Amen. King.
Oh, let the worshipers arise.
Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing.
Praise tonight. Amen. Are you happy to be in his house tonight? Amen. Thank the Lord for bringing us through another safe week. Amen. We just come tonight to honor him, to worship him in spirit and truth. Let's sing that little chorus, Holy Spirit, rain down. Maybe key of G.
Oh, Holy Spirit, rain down. And again. Holy Spirit, rain down. Oh Lord, won't you rain down? Oh, let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts. We stand. One more time tonight. Oh, Holy Spirit, rain down. Oh, Lord, rain down. Oh, Comforter and Friend. Oh, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain.
Clap of praise tonight. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this evening. We've got quite a few prayer requests. A couple of quick announcements. First, there was a ladies' watch. Also, a ladies' necklace found in the fellowship hall last night after the wedding. It's in the church library. So if that is yours, go and claim it. I told them, if it's not claimed, we're just going to melt it down and put it in the building fund. So if you're missing a necklace and a watch, go claim that over in the library. I want to welcome tonight with Sister Sarah Carroll, her niece Ruthie Gott, her three daughters Rachel, Jessica, and Shelby from Arkansas. Where are they at tonight? Back here. Raise your hands. Everybody give them a hand tonight. Amen. Certainly is good to have them in the service with us. Any other visitors that are with us in our gates tonight, we just want to welcome you to worship the Lord with us tonight. Want to read a testimony. Sister Martha Ann turned this in. She wants to praise the Lord for a safe trip to Macon, Georgia. She visited with a sister whose husband had passed a few months back and has been in grieving. Also visited several sisters there that have had some devastating illnesses in the last few months. Said our Lord Jesus has helped those sisters persevere through it all. So she just said, God bless. We certainly want to thank the Lord for that testimony. Tonight, I want to please remember Sister Barbara Gravely and Brother Bert for problems in their bodies. Brother Bert, he for his right arm and his shoulder. Sister Barbara is having a Doppler study done, so we certainly want to lift them up before the Lord in prayer. Brother Gary, I believe it's Weintraut, attends Brother Luther Dishman's church. Be having prostate surgery on Monday morning. He's asked that we pray for him, so we certainly lift that need up before the Lord. An update on Brother Jimmy and Sister Laura Burchett. Sister Laura has been discharged from the hospital and is undergoing therapy in the rehab center. So thank the Lord for that, moving in her body there. Brother Jimmy was moved from ICU but has developed a fever and had to be returned to ICU. Doctors are running tests to determine the cause of the fever. So we certainly want to continue to lift that family in our prayers tonight. Sister Brenda Thompson request prayer. She had melanoma about 8 years ago, had surgery to remove it. Now is having it reoccurred. She'll be facing surgery in the next week, so we want to lift her up before the Lord in prayer. Also, with an email coming to the library, please pray for my disabled wife, Connie, to get well. She thinks she has pneumonia again, says thank you very much, Brother Danny, so we certainly want to lift that need up tonight. Another email from the library. I wonder if you could please put in a prayer request for an almost 80-year-old, this Sister Sarah Friesen's 80-year-old mother. Her eyes have to be tested for some sort of blockage. Says her right eye is completely blind when she covers her left eye up, but when she uncovers, it's fine. Said they're from Canada. I just want to remember also her 3-month-old great-nephew, Noah Hart been diagnosed with whooping cough. So we want to lift him up before the Lord in our prayers tonight as well. Unspoken prayer request for Sister Linda Jablonski. I mean, the Lord knows all that, all the needs there. I want to remember a prayer request from Brother Fred. I believe it's Theron. Want to request prayer for Brother Roland Barber. Had a stroke on Wednesday last week. Doctor's not giving a good prognosis. And just remember his family. They had called and asked for him to come to the hospital for prayer. So we certainly want to lift that need up before the Lord this evening. Also, please turn in a prayer request for brethren, for Sister Angie Brown. So that her husband Cliff is in a tremendous amount of pain today. He's waiting for an MRI of his spine. And he's under a pain management doctor. Says he can hardly move today, strapped down in his chair. So we just want to certainly lift that need up before the Lord in prayer. Also, Sister Tanya emailed a request in. Hope all is well. Would you please have the church pray for tonight? 2 6 people in one house. Appreciate it very much. So God bless. So we certainly want to lift those needs. The Lord knows. The Lord knows the names, amen, of the needs tonight of the people. I know there's many needs among us. People sick. Amen. People just struggling with different situations in our life, and I know the Lord's mindful in each and every need in each and every heart. He's a great God. He can go and touch each and every person individually. He just has a specialized message that just hits all the hearts of the people. So, amen. Thank the Lord for his mercy and kindness. Let's just stand to our feet. Brother Terry, would you come tonight? Take us to the Lord in prayer. Amen. On behalf of these needs.
Church. So thankful that we are, I guess you might say, living in Goshen in such a dark time. In the evening time it shall be light. There was no light in the next to last plague in Egypt, as we well know the story. You know, it was total darkness for 3 days. Neither man nor beast could move. It was just that dark. And this is where we are today spiritually. Spiritual darkness, gross darkness on the people. But brothers and sisters, we are walking in light. We are so thankful that God has shed light in our path that we could walk in the light. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, truly we want to, before we ask any petition, we want to say thank you that you permitted us to walk in the light. You're the light. In the revelation of the Word, it is coming forth, Lord, that we are understanding more and more and seeing you, the mighty God being unveiled more and more. And we're just thankful, Lord, that we are in the presence and under the umbrella of a Word message. Dear God, we're thankful for this light. That's a glorious light. We're happy to be in the light. We pray, God, this tonight now as we look to you for these requests, 7 or 8 or 9 very serious requests. And we're asking for each one of them to undertake. They've been read. They've been spoken. Those sounds out in the airwaves, and Lord, you know each one, but you just said ask and believe and don't doubt you can have these things. So Lord, I believe there's faith in the building tonight. I believe we're going to see some results from the request that's been made known. And we're thankful, Lord, that you, not only it's our faith, we can just have all the faith that we can have, but Lord, you drop down your faith, and I believe with our, and it'll be perfect faith. And grant it, Lord. We're happy to be here, as we said tonight. We pray that you'll anoint the speaker to speak, and as we pull on the gift of God, may we desire to have something that will help me and help you and help my brother and help my sister. We need strength. We have the ammunition, Lord, but we need the strength, Lord, to be able to hold that great sword that you place within our hands. And we ask, Lord, that you would just give us strength tonight. Bless my brothers and sisters that are really in severe pain, the one with the pain management, and all the requests, dear Lord. I'm asking you to help each one of them. Give us what we have need of tonight. We be careful to praise you. And we're thankful, Lord, once again, we can come to this house, worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, still in the freedom of this land, God, may you let it happen as long as possible. We love you tonight. Lord, we just thank you. Bless your children tonight. And it's all that's done and said in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Terry. Let's just sing this song tonight, Rising Up, Rising Up. There's a New Testament church rising up. Amen. Let's sing that as the brothers would come receive the evening offering at this time. I think I'm going to let Brother Harry start it after Wednesday night. If you don't know what happened on Wednesday night and you go back and stream the service, you just skip straight to Brother Donnie. I said, if you can't laugh at yourself, you don't need to laugh at others, right? Amen. Let's sing that song tonight.
Rising up. Thank you. rising up. There's a New Testament church rising up. Rising up. Rising up. There's a New Testament church rising up. As I look out across the land, I see God's mighty hand, the bride of Christ adorned in a wedding gown. Just like in the days of old, they stood in courage bold. They turned that old world upside down. Oh, rising up, oh, rising up. There's a New Testament church rising up. Oh, rising up,
rising up.
Oh, rising up,
rising up.
There's a New Testament church rising up. Now the Bible plainly tells how the Holy Ghost fell. Signs and wonders were done by the apostles' hand. Demon spirits were cast out. In a jail they sing and shout while surrounded by God's holy angel band. Well, if you think it's all long gone, all the miracles are done, I have some good news to bring to you. In this last days He'll pour of His Spirit more and more. Like a mighty eagle, Your strength He'll renew. We're rising up. Testament church rising up,
oh, rising up,
rising up,
oh, rising up,
rising up.
There's a New Testament church rising up,
oh, rising up,
rising up,
oh, rising up,
rising up.
There's a New Testament church rising up. Church rising up,
oh, rising up,
rising up,
oh, rising up,
rising up.
Oh, there's a New Testament church rising up.
Amen. Amen. We have a couple of specials tonight. Brother Ashton Crook, if he'd come, be making his way to the platform to sing for us tonight. Amen. Also, Sister Jessica Bennett has a song for us as well. Let's just sing one more chorus of that tonight. Rising up, there's a New Testament church. Are you part of that church tonight?
Oh, rising up. Oh, rising up. We're a New Testament church. Rising up. Oh, rising up. Oh, we're rising up. Oh, there's a New Testament church rising up. Oh, rising up. Oh, rising up. There's a New Testament church rising up. Oh, we're rising up. Oh, rising up. Oh, there's a New Testament church rising up.
Give our singers a hand tonight as they sing for us. You can be seated.
Test. There we go. Greetings from Lima, Ohio. We go to Brother Ray Erickson's church. Down here visiting the Hicksons. I just wanted to say just a couple words before this song, give a little backstory and inspiration. There's a close family friend of ours who had come to the point in his life where he felt like life was no longer worth living, and he decided to attempt suicide, and he, by the grace of God, he survived. But this song This song, the thought came to me, because I work in a family doctor's office. I'm a nurse practitioner in a family doctor's office, and I'll tell you, there is not a day that goes by that somebody comes in depressed, suicidal, anxious. Every single day. Every single day. Multiple times throughout the day. And it's a neurotic age. It's the spirit of this age that we're living in. And I got to thinking, if it weren't for the grace of God and the message of this hour, the shelter that I have in the midst of this storm, there I would be, right? And there you would be. But we have a shelter. We have a hiding place, a place that we can run to, a refuge. We have a sure word of prophecy that does not fail. And that's where this song comes from. I pray it's a blessing to you. The storm draws closer, dark clouds fill the sky. Thunder roars all around me, and the flood of waters rise. Earnestly I seek for a rock that is higher than I run to you, Father. To your shelter I will fly, for you are my shelter. When outside is a hurricane, the storms around me rage, but in you I am safe, for you are my shelter. And I run to your embrace, for you are the life, the truth, and the way, and in you I'm not afraid, for you are my shelter. Nations rise and fall, violence fills the land, uncertainty and fear fill the hearts of every man. They're looking for an inner rest and searching for a peace inside, a light in the darkness and a refuge where they can hide. But you are my shelter. When outside is a hurricane, the storms around me rage, but in you I am safe, 'cause you are my shelter. And I run to your embrace, for you are the life, the truth, and the way, and in you I'm not afraid, for you are my shelter. You surround my heart with songs of deliverance. In you I place my trust, for you have promised that you'd be my shelter. When outside is a hurricane, the storms around me rage, but in you I am safe, for you are my shelter. And I run to your embrace, for you are the life, the truth, and the way, and in you I'm not afraid, for you are my shelter. My shelter, my shelter. Oh, you are my shelter, my shelter, my shelter.
done for me fully prevailed so I could walk in victory. Since I've touched the cross and felt the pain he bore, forsaking all my life before, I've set out for heaven sure, to go with him all the way, never to return again to yesterday. I can't turn back on him. I've turned away from sin. I'll walk with him every day. There's just no other way. While bridges behind me burn, pressing ahead will be my yearn. I've reached the point. No return. Having put my hand to the plow, I won't look back. Nothing behind could ever match what I now have. The Savior now that I have come to has everything I need to grow. To whom shall we go? I don't ever want to part. Yes, it's true, this Jesus, he has won my heart. I can't turn back on him. I've turned away from sin. I'll walk with him every day. There's just no other way. While bridges behind me burn, pressing ahead will be my yearn. I've reached the point of no return. For rich or for poor, sickness and in hell, for better for worse, I give you all of myself. To have and to hold and cherish in my heart, a vow even death can never part. I can't turn back on him. I've turned away from sin. I'll walk with him every day. There's just no other way. While bridges behind me burn, pressing ahead will be my yearn. I've reached the point of no return. I've reached the point of no return.
Amen. Amen. Certainly appreciate both those specials tonight. Let's just stand to our feet as we sing this little chorus, Our God is Awesome Tonight. Let's sing that as Brother Donnie would come. Trust you come with an expectant heart. Yeah. Believe and pull upon the gift. Let the Lord speak to your hearts tonight.
Oh, my God is awesome. Oh, he is awesome. 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 My God is awesome. He can move the mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Awesome. Oh yes, he's awesome.
Jesus. I'm so glad we know Him tonight as being an awesome God.
Amen.
A mighty God.
Amen.
Are you happy to be in church tonight?
Amen.
Well, when we would think about awesome, probably depending on the definition of where you would look at, Marillat, Webster, Wikipedia, I'm sure you'd come up with all different types of definitions. If I'd ask you tonight, different ones of you, what you think awesome would be. You'd think God is so big. But what do you mean when you say big? You mean large? Has God got a big head, and big eyes, and big hands? Or what do you mean God is big? You see, the way that man measures greatness is so different than the way that God does. He's so awesome and He's so wonderful that He created the world, the universe. All the span that they say the light is actually still going, that it hasn't ever stopped. It's still expanding and still going on. So then you think, well, big, if the universe is that big, if there's over 1 septillion stars, which is a one with 24 zeros thereafter, if there's that many stars, then surely the guy who made it's bigger than all that expanse. But then there again, how do you determine big? But He was so awesome and so wonderful that He loved us so much that He came to this earth and began a new creation of Himself in the womb of a woman with a seed and with an egg. So you can't really go by big, can you? How many's got Him living in you tonight? So is he reserved then to your size? 5'10", 160? 4.5 feet, 110, 130, whatever you weigh. That's how big God is? No. But greatness is actually expressed in humility. I love that kind of greatness. Now you go talking about greatness, talking about that avenue. That's where you cue me in. Let's read about it tonight. St. John 4:23. I want to speak to you on fellowship with God. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Now remember, this is the first time this is being spoken in the New Testament. The great mystery of God that is being revealed, and the Lord Jesus is making it known to a woman who's been married all these times. A lot of us, if we'd see her and if she'd come to Happy Valley, a lot of us wouldn't even speak to this woman. We wouldn't have nothing to do with her. We'd seen her at Walmart or wherever we send out a special meeting, wherever it was. We'd say, stay away from her. Lord, have mercy, that woman's been married I don't know how many times. But Jesus come right straight to her and told her things that had been hid since the foundation of the world. So just because folks are messed up, don't mean they're messed up beyond redemption. Right? Now what she tells her, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. 1 John chapter 1 verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. I want you to notice the way John says it here. He didn't say that we don't say the truth, but we do not the truth. Now he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not say, but we do not the truth. So I'm going to be a doer. I mean, I'd like to be remembered tonight in prayer before the Lord. Let's just bow our heads, if you would. Father, we humbly bow our heads to our mother, the dust of the earth, from whence our body was taken from. Thanksgiving and gratitude in our hearts, Lord Jesus, to know that your mercy has been extended to us in such an awesome, great way. Lord, we're asking that you would come by this way tonight. Father, once again, extend your kindness to us. Help us, Lord, as we endeavor to look into your word. May we be benefited by our gathering tonight, Lord. We've not gathered under the auspices of a denomination or the auspices of a kingdom building preacher, but we've gathered under the revealing of the Word of God, the Son of Man, the evening light. We pray that you would help us, Lord. You saw the request, Father, signified by the uplifting of the hand. Lord, I'm asking you to move for them. Lord, you see this prayer cloth I have in my hand tonight to preach with, Lord, Sister Linda Jablonski's request. I pray that you'd be mindful of that. I'm probably the most needy person here tonight, Lord, because here I stand before hundreds of your people to try to say something that would help them. Lord, we're living in the darkest age it's ever been. Diseases breaking out on people, panic, fear, moving on the nations, pestilences, great things are happening on the earth. Oh God, we run to you, great rock of ages. Oh Father, may you help us. Help me to get out of the way that you can speak through me tonight, Father. Anoint the people that they can receive in Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Really, when you look at verse 6 of this that we just read, if we say that we have fellowship with him, to me, to look at that truth is so wonderful. For human beings to be privileged to even say, I have fellowship with God. Amen. Now, to say you were a servant of God, way beyond what we deserve. If you were a slave in God's household, that's beyond what you deserve. But to be identified as having fellowship, which means partaking of the same nature, the same, having the same goals, the same desires, the same motives, same objectives. So what God wants, you want. What God hates, you hate. What God loves, you love. Those whom God forgives, you forgive. God holds no grudges, you hold no grudges. Now come on, we're getting in bride material now. You see, to say that we actually fellowship with God, now it's one thing to know God. It's one thing to be known of God. But that's not the same thing that John is talking about. But he brings it to a different level of fellowship. And we know, of course, this was only made possible by the kenosis of the Lord Jesus. Him emptying himself out of the previous established glory with the Father that he had before the foundation of the world. This was made and brought in view that we might be partakers of his divine nature and be able to have this type of reciprocating fellowship. Now you see, being that it is reciprocal, What that means is it's not just one-sided. Now, you've seen it to where that there were friendships and even marriages to where that one person in the marriage really loves the other person. And they do what they can within their ability and their power to make the marriage work. But the other person simply does not love their mate like they should. And they constantly struggle with selfishness, or they struggle with, it can be jealousy, it can be all kinds of things. But the bottom line for most marriage problems is centered upon the degree of selfishness in themselves. And yet they don't love the husband or wife in the same equivalent basis that the other one loves them. Can it ever really work right? It never will. It's the same with us having fellowship with God. If it was only us wanting to fellowship with Him, and we're constantly wanting to talk to Him, and wanting to pray, and wanting to sing, and wanting to praise, and wanting to adore, and all those things that a real believer wants to do, but yet from the presence of God, we always kept feeling this rejection. So you get nearer to Him, and you know, you've been around people before, and you really wanted to try to make friends with them, and you wanted to try to talk to them, but they would just kind of shun you a little bit. You'd talk to them, and you know, maybe tap them on the arm or something, and they'd just ignore you and look at somebody else. Well, I don't know how you feel about that. They may do me that way for a while, but they're not going to do me that way many times. Because if they don't want my fellowship, that's fine. There's thousands times thousands who do. So I'll try to work on them a little bit and work on them a little bit. If they don't want it, fine. Then I'll give it to someone else. And you see, if God would have treated us that way, I dare say, there probably wouldn't be three people in this church tonight. Because most of us would not persist on God's mercy and His grace. So if we prayed, He didn't answer, we'd quit praying. If we went to church, we didn't feel Him. If He didn't respond the way we thought He ought to, we're ready to quit over a little bit of trials and tests. Much less months and months or years and years of persistency. So God knows how we are. And the thing of it is, God does not want it to be a one-sided relationship. If it is one-sided, it's more on His side. If there's anybody lazy in the relationship between me and God, it ain't God. Anybody want to say that for yourself? If there's anybody lacking in the relationship between me and God, it certainly is not the Lord Jesus. So John wanted the people to be able to see that God had established something, and he says it, if we say, and I love the way he puts himself there, he does not make himself above the others, but if we say that we have fellowship with God, which is a partaking of the divine nature, or a communion with God, which implies a deeper walk than the children of Israel could ever have under the giving of the law. The law could never produce such a thing. But now John, you know, remember John is the only the disciple that we know that actually stood at the foot of the cross. All the rest of them went this way, that way, that way. But yet John had a perception about the cross and the blood, which I think serves us good to be able to bring into the light of this tonight. That John did not preach nor believe that people should be living at the foot of the cross. By that I mean that they have to hear the cross preached every weekend when they go to church. But John believed that the revelation of the light of God through Christ Jesus unfolded more than just the initial price that was paid at the cross. John believed that for you to be go on and be a partaker of the blood that was shed, there was light involved in correlation of forgiveness. Now this is something for a man, you know, you imagine all these preachers today, the only thing they preach is the cross, and they wasn't even there. So I can't imagine if they was there, and they, it would be everything they talk about, everything they preach, and they think they're doing a great thing about it, they're blind. It shows they don't even understand the gospel. Here's a man who stood there at the foot of the cross, and yet read his gospel and see how many times he mentioned the word cross. Read his epistles and see how many times he mentioned it. Read the book of Revelation that he penned by the Spirit of God and see how many times he mentioned it. But was he a denier of the cross? Of course not. He was an understander of the propitiation that was paid on the cross, but he also knew you could not be saved by pointing to a backward work if he was not walking in present day truths. Amen. Now, the denominations, most every one of them, of course, will point back to what the Lord Jesus did on the cross. Hey, friends, even the Muslims believe in an element of the Lord Jesus. Sure, read the Quran. I've got one of them. He shows up in the Quran, and they will point to the Lord Jesus. Although Muhammad did not believe that Jesus actually died, he actually believed that someone else died in his stead. He did believe that Jesus ascended up to heaven, so if Jesus didn't die, we're all lost. That's right, because there's no blood to speak for us. So as far as pointing to the Lord Jesus, every denomination pretty much on the world, face of the earth today, believes in the Lord Jesus. So it's not enough to point backwards to what God did 2,000 years ago, but we have to find where God is right now, because we have to walk in the light as he is in the light, and that's what cues us up with the proper fellowship with God. But John wants to focus now on those who say that they have life. So he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness. Notice now, so light and darkness correlates with the blood. It also correlates with fellowship with God. So a person that lives a sinful life, a compromising life, and they've got things in their life that they know is not right with God. They got habits or whatever more. Sin there, and they keep playing around. And really the bottom line is they don't want deliverance. There's deliverance here. If you want it, you can get it tonight. If you don't, I wonder why. It's just that simple. Now look, if you're going to a church where they don't preach the power of God, you might have an excuse. You don't have that here. You don't have that where most message preachers are preaching, because they preach and believe in the delivering power of God. So John said, if a person says that I have fellowship with God, and yet they walk in darkness and they do not the truth. Now, not they don't talk about the truth, but they simply don't do the truth. He said, then they're not walking according to the dispersion of the light that they profess that they are in. Now, it's amazing that John does not believe and place Christians to where Christians, now I hope it don't bother you, but John did not believe that Christians did not sin. As a matter of fact, Brother Branham said, sinners don't sin, Christians do. Well, I'm surprised I got that many amens. Now, the very reason is because the word sin means miss the mark, hamartia, hamartia. So here is a mark that is set. And a sinner does not have that mark set. A sinner is a sinner by nature. But a true born again son or daughter of God is no longer a sinner by nature. And they have marks set for their temperament. They have marks set for their perseverance. They have marks set for their forgiveness. You understand? On and on and on and on. So they have this perimeter or boundary set of their life. Then if they fall short of that mark or that perimeter, and they know they should forgive that brother that's talked about them or that neighbor that's run them down, they should, but they, you know what? The devil really caught them at a weak time, and boy, they just run them down. They talked about them, and they felt so bad when they did it. So what did they do? Well, they actually missed the mark that was set for the boundary of forgiveness. That if their brother sinned against them not one time a day, or not even seven times a day, but 70 times seven in one day. Now, that's the mark that's set for forgiveness. Then whenever we fall short, all you got to do is fall short one time, Now you imagine you're 489 times and you missed that last time. All them times you fell short. Oh my. So the boundary was there. There is where Christians will sin. Now, when I say sin, I don't mean Christians go around drink and they gamble and they bet and they're committing adultery and all that sort of thing. Many times it's those things that are so small that we would look at, and it's sins of ignorance. Sometimes it is sins of omission that we should pray for one another and we don't. The Bible tells you to do that. Do you do it? You pray for your leaders in America? Bible says you're supposed to. Prophet said he prayed for doctors and hospitals every day that God would help them to help the human race. So there are sins like that, and yet people look at themselves and say, well, I don't drink and I don't lie and I don't cheat nobody and I'm good to the poor and I'm kind to those that don't deserve it, so I don't do no sin. I wonder how many things the Lord Jesus has forgiven you for this week that you never even asked him to because you never even knew it was wrong. But you see, if it wasn't that way, our fellowship would be constantly broken and we would never be able to have fellowship with God. Now, much less the things that we do know. You understand? The things that we do know is wrong. Now, we realize, of course, that Don here in writing this, he addresses and says, if we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. So now this is where that we're behaving our life. A walk is a way of life. Is Enoch walked with God. So a person walks in darkness, so they're doing things over and over and over again, then wrong. He said that we lie and do not the truth. So when a believer will make a mistake, and when the believer will absolutely do wrong, and they feel smitten by the Holy Ghost, then what happens to that believer? Well, it breaks their fellowship, but not their sonship. The believer does not need now to go back and get saved, but the believer simply needs to call upon the mercy of God and ask God for the work of propitiation, which the Lamb of God atones for where they've done wrong, and then they renew their fellowship with God. They don't need to be saved again. They don't need to go back and be baptized again. You understand that. But here John is pointing to them that if you want true fellowship with God, that you must walk in the light of the word. Now, the Torah, the law, could never be able to produce that because the law did not release anything that would go to the very sin cause, which was man's fallen nature. Man born in sin, he couldn't help that. He could not help being born lost. And the law simply said, thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt do that, and thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt do that. But it never released anything to come down inside and replace man's fallen sinful nature. So man still had that snake in his heart, no matter how much he might not have wanted it to be there. And the law could not produce it. So God must somehow bundle light, life, blood, mercy, redemption, reconciliation, Godhead, all of those great things into one package, personify it, and bring it down into a human body called his son or his humanity, and allow then by that human being able to release that light, it would release the whole contents of the package to those that can accept it and believe what he did. That's where we are tonight. Now notice in verse 7, John says, but if we walk in the light. Now notice how you've got to walk in the light. You don't walk in the light as you see the light. Now that's the way it's been quoted for years and years, but that's not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Now notice then how this ties you in fellowship with him. So in order to have fellowship with God, we've got to find where God is. You'd agree with that, right? If you want to know where he is. Well, you say you go into a mall somewhere and you've never been there before. And whenever you go in, say, we'll go on the east side. And you go into the Mall of America, gigantic big old place. And you walk into the east side. You've never been there before. You've heard about it, read about it maybe. And when you go in, there will be a little directory there. And it will say, you are here. Now, there might be a little red dot or green dot, yellow dot, but it will let you know where you are. Well, you're looking for Brooks Brothers, or you're looking for for, you know, a delicatessen. You're looking for something particular in there, or you just want to go in and look around. Well, if there's something you're looking for, and you've got a general direction, well, somebody told me it was on the north side, and it was on the lower level, and you know, when you go here, there, and there, and there. Well, you've got to find out where you are first in order to get that. Now, then you'll follow the direction, go to the elevator, go to the third floor, and then when you go off the elevator, you go left and go down. Well, what is that simply doing? It's trying to direct you from where you are to supposedly where you want to go. Well, I want to go to heaven. How many wants to go? Well, when I was born, I didn't know it, but I was born lost. Well, then by the hearing of the gospel one day in a little old Holiness church, the preacher got up there and basically drew out the directory and let me see where I was. Well, I found myself, and many of y'all can recall the same thing for yourself, I found myself in a lost condition. Well, I wanted to go to heaven, but I didn't know how to get there. I didn't know which way to go, didn't know what to do. I asked my mama that morning, you've heard me tell it, Mama, how do you get saved? I didn't know how to pray, didn't know how to talk to God. So I was trying to find my way to get there. Well, whenever we talk about the gospel life, and if we would just stay, say, 2,000 years ago on what the Lord Jesus done 2,000 years ago, and we would rally around the miracles and all that, that's wonderful, that's great. But yet, even his apostles never stayed just there. If they were going to stay just there, they didn't really need to preach. All they need to do is just hand out leaflets of the four gospels, and then they themselves not even preach. And they certainly wouldn't need the book of Acts or, you know, the Pauline epistles or any of the rest of the books of the New Testament. But actually, they watched Jesus as he walked out of the four gospels, and they watched that same Jesus walk into the book of Acts, which was the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the apostles. So they were watching Jesus as he moved out of the light of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as he stepped into the book of Acts. You follow me? Now, they don't stop there. Now, thank God for the four gospels. Thank God for the book of Acts. But think about it. Where would we be in our understanding about God if we only had the four gospels and the book of Acts? And we did not have Romans and Galatians and Philippians and Ephesians and Philemon. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Titus, right? A book of Jude or James, three epistles of John. Think how much we would miss if we did not see it. So what did they do? They allowed the Lord Jesus of Calvary now to ascend up into heaven and then again to come down on the day of Pentecost, and their perception of him must also change because they see him go away and they must acknowledge it is him that come back now just a few days later in the form of the Son of God through the church ages. But if what if they say, you know what, I want to stay back there with Jesus of Matthew. And I want to just stay back there with Jesus of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And I don't want to go no deeper than that, because all that Acts stuff and Romans and all that, it confuses me. I just get all messed up. I just want to read about the four gospel Jesus. Well, I'm telling you, you're going to wind up going to the tribulation period, and you may be lost. Because if you're going to be cleansed in this day, you cannot just point back to the four gospels. You've got to be able to walk in the light as he is in the light. So you notice what you find as the focal point when you go to pursuing the revelation of the light of God for the hour. You find him. You find him. Look, friend, I don't want to just find Brother Branham in the light. I don't want to just find you and you and you. And you don't want to find me. We want to find him. I'm not sure what you saw when you heard this message, but I saw more than a Kentuckian. I saw more than a man called William Marion Branham. I have seen the Lord Jesus in this word. Now, apparently a lot of the folks have not. That's why they're turning and walking away. They think they're walking away from this, walking to Jesus. They're walking backwards. Jesus is in the revealed word of this hour. He is in the light of the word of this hour. And when you leave this, you are going backwards and regressing into outer darkness. Well, that's the truth. That's the way it is. Now, notice John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now remember, John was the apostle of love. And oh my, folks get in their mind, if a man's really got love, he never rebukes anybody, he never preaches hard. You don't understand real love. John was not only the apostle of love, but he was also a son of thunder. Wow. Is that what Jesus called him? So he was one of the sons of thunder. A son of thunder being an apostle of love. Well, praise God. So he was a son of thunder. And he had an intense earnestness and a desire for holiness before God. So this son of thunder attribute would be able to line up together with the apostle of love and allow him to be able to rebuke sin and chastise and say, you ain't going in like that. You got to straighten this up. You got to quit doing that. And you've got to do something else. Come on now. Amen. Why? Because part of the time you need the son of thunder and part of the time you need the apostle of love. I believe God still got some sons of thunder in that respect, don't you? So there was only one real sphere of communion that John was put in. Now remember, this is the very man that saw the cross. This is the very man that the Lord Jesus looked at him and spoke to Mary and said, and spoke to John first and said, behold your mother. And then looks at her and says, behold your son. In other words, John, I'm so poor, I have nothing to leave her. Joseph by this time was already dead. And Jesus was a pauper. Jesus had nothing to leave her. He had no money. He had no house, no property. So he looked at John and said, behold your mother. In other words, John, will you take care of her for me? I have no means. Lord, have mercy, children. The God of the universe, come to the earth and live like a poor man. And died the death of a pauper. As a matter of fact, the very word that Paul uses in the book of Corinthians, that he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. The very word pauper is the very same word that Jesus used in the parable in the book of Luke about the man named Lazarus, which was a beggar. That's awesome. That's greatness. Oh my, we can't buy a pair of shoes unless they come from the mall. Boy, we have to have the best of this shame on us. Oh my. So here John is persuading or wanting to persuade by the gospel that they can see if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So the communion then is based not just upon blood, but based upon light. Now here John doesn't open this verse and say, now if we walk in the blood, then we have fellowship. Well, wait a minute. Ain't the blood the most important thing? Well, if you got the blood, you got everything. Are you sure? Are you sure you're not believing tradition? Oh, yes, we have to have the blood. But the one divine access to the promise that you have the blood each and every day is your joint union with the light. You refuse light? You refuse the blood. That's why the prophet tells us in the fourth seal that all those going through the tribulation period, they actually think they're under the blood, but they're not. How can all these churches, how can all these people miss the rapture? Because they think with all of their heart they're under the blood. Why? Because their churches are preaching an ideology that's of the church ages. Come on, children. Oh my, it's not even the truth. And yet the blood, the blood, the blood. They preach the blood nearly every service. And they think by talking about the chemistry that puts their people under the blood. It was not the chemistry that we focus on. It was the life, the token of the blood. How many of y'all have got the chemistry of the blood of the Lord Jesus tonight? None of you. None of you. Nobody here has the chemistry. The chemistry of the blood has never been applied to one saint of God. It was a life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Notice he said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now this is not just me and you. It's us and God. We have fellowship with one another, us and God. True communion is God living in this sphere with his redeemed subjects. Now, how in the world can an absolute, perfect, sinless, infinite, holy, righteous God ever have day-to-day fellowship with people who've been saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, still yet captured in these human prison houses? How many of y'all has made mistakes this week? Last week? Week before that? Week before that? Really? How many of y'all think you have fellowship with God? How can you? Well, praise the Lord. You see, John believed that the Christians, of course, in their soul, that are born again, they're sinless. That nature is gone. We've crossed the line. We can never get back, but we're still captured in a body of time. This is your capsule of time, believe it or not. So what do we do? As we walk in the light and the way is made more clear, then we lay aside doctrines, we lay aside traditions or whatever more that are contrary to the word, that maybe 6 months ago you believed this or this and you never knew it was wrong until you heard a preacher preach about it, or maybe you heard Brother Bam say something on the tape and you listened to it and you said, my goodness, I didn't know that. I've been believing that wrong for the last 40 years. How come God didn't put you out of fellowship? Actually, your ignorance fell under the blood of his mercy seat. You never knew it. So therefore, he was not holding you accountable because the light had not shined in that avenue of your life. But once the light comes on it, then we become responsible then to do what? To walk in that light of truth. And when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Oh, praise God. I wonder how many of us this week have been forgiven of something and we didn't even know we'd done anything wrong, much less to be forgiven of it, a sin of omission, a sin of ignorance, or what David called a secret sin. And yet the blood of the Lord Jesus speaking on our behalf. Why? He wants our fellowship so bad. He set up a program. Now remember, he'll not turn a blind eye to sin. Once we are conscious of that, we must take care of it. But until we are, hallelujah, until we are aware of it, he says, Father, I will be their surety. Praise God. I wish everybody really could have this, but there's certain benefits that's only available to family members. And since Jesus and the bride are of the same Father, of the same blood, of the same motive, they share mutual benefits. Now, the church will be saved, of course, the church natural, but they don't receive these same benefits as the bride. Now, watch, John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, notice now he doesn't go back and refer to say that God is light. So here, John brings in a definite expression of God revealing himself in his own expression of the word. You follow me? Now, God, of course, is the Word. And in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the same as in the beginning with God. We know, and all things were created by Him. And all things were made by Him. And Colossians 1 tells us the same thing. So He was the expression of everything that was made. But there was times that God would actually get inside an expression of His own Word and become that expression. Other times He would allow other people to do that. Some on the positive side is Moses. Some on the negative side as Pharaoh. But yet God Himself chose particular portions of His own Word that He would take on Himself, and He'd be the only one that could fulfill it. And then there was other portions of the Word that say David alone could fulfill, and Zechariah alone could fulfill, and there's only certain parts that you can fulfill, because that's the part given to you. But John wants the people to see that we must walk in the light as Jesus Himself is in the light. So whenever we look then at Martin Luther tacking his 95 thesis on the door of Wittenberg, Germany, then what do we see? We see Jesus moving and a revival starting with a tiny little flicker of restoration light. And it was Him moving, oh praise God, and the church out of the darkness of Catholicism, and finally God opening up a little portion of His Word to a man by the name of Martin Luther. Who was it? Jesus in the light. Now the elect of that day caught the revelation. Others only caught a reformation. They burned churches, they tore churches down, they killed people. It was awful. If you've never really studied the Reformation, it's absolutely awful, some of the stuff that followed Martin Luther's revival. So that, you know, thank God, at least we don't go that far with what follows ours. But it was terrible stuff that followed the Reformation. But that should not, and no doubt, did not affect the real elect of God, because they saw Jesus in Romans as the great leader Martin Luther began to see and catch vision, that it was grace alone. It was not by Hail Marys. It was not by paying your loved ones out of purgatory. It was none of that. It had nothing to do with it. But it was faith alone that a person is saved by. We sit here and we've heard it for years and years, and it don't really mean that much to us because it's so common to us. But can you imagine living under the dark ages and you've been told to do all of this and that and another, no venues, and pray for this, and it costs you so much when you do that, and a preacher stands up and said all that is trash and nonsense. There's one way that you're saved, and that's by faith alone. And that revelation strikes your heart. You start walking in the light of that. Guess what? Jesus was in the light of justification. Now, those that were really made up to be the elect of that day had to walk in that light. But thank God Jesus said, I don't want to just stop here under justification. I want to leave the church a little bit higher. Then He called Martin Luther, and thank God Martin Luther went on to his reward. Then God raises up John and Charles and all of those in the second work of grace. And Jesus was in the light of sanctification. So now here Jesus has moved beyond just justification. Did everybody move with Him? They did not. Some of them stayed right there and made a Lutheran denomination, and there they died. But Jesus was now in the light of sanctification. Well, can I go on? Well, praise God, He didn't stay there. He said, I want the restoration of gifts back in my church. So Jesus moved with a Pentecostal revival. The elect moved with Him, because they followed the pillar of fire. Then Jesus was in the light of people speaking in tongues, people casting out devils, people baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus was in the light. Those that didn't go with Him made a denomination there that died. Well, can we keep on moving? Then Jesus said, hallelujah, behold, I will send unto you Elijah the prophet. Amen. At the evening time it shall be light again. And Jesus then moved again into the end time message or the restoration of the evening. Ah. So if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him, with one another. one another, and the blood of His Son Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Now listen, many folks thought just by accepting God sent a prophet, oh praise God, God sent Brother Branham, that's wonderful, we all rejoice in that for a season. But the message isn't about just about Brother Branham. Sure, we had to have a prophet to deliver it. But if you read Malachi 4 real close, you'll find some other people in Malachi 4, 5. Behold, I, the light giver. Behold, I send unto you. Oh, you mean you're in Malachi 4 right with Brother Branham. Behold, I, God, send unto you, Elijah the prophet. If you'll notice the order, God puts Himself first, you second, Brother Branham third. Now, a lot of the message folks have made Brother Branham first, second, and third, and fourth, and fifth, and sixth, and seventh. But that's not the way God said it. Come on now, children. Now, thank God Brother Branham did his part. Oh, how we love him, how we desire to be able to see him on that great day. But now the light is still shining. And the word made manifest is the light expressed. Where is it now? In bride form. In bride form. Exactly right. Amen. Why? Because Jesus is now manifesting the word in the light. For where is the manifestation? And we told him, he said, John was a bright and shining light, and you rejoiced in his light for a season. John shone, but he had to go out. Why? Because Jesus come. Luther shined, but he had to go out because Wesley come. Well, glory. Now, then who are we pointing to now? Is it some preacher in Trinidad? Is it some preacher down in Louisiana? Or one over in West Virginia somewhere? Where are we? Aren't we trying to find Jesus? Aren't we trying to find? I want to find Him. I want to find where He's at so I can stay forgiven, so I can stay clean and be in constant fellowship. And in order for me to be in fellowship, I've got to find where He's at. I've got to find what light. Oh, glory. I've got to find what light we're in. So the requirement for fellowship is to be able to let the light reveal both right and wrong in your life. Now I know this ain't deep. Oh my goodness, I know y'all ain't just sitting there. You're having to just rack your brain to comprehend it. It's right down where we all live, which most of us don't like that kind of preaching. We'd rather have something real deep and we go out, wow. Did you understand that? No, but wow. And what does them wows do you? They really do you a lot of good when it's all said and done. Many of them don't. You just think the preacher's a great preacher. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then the light reveals both right and wrong. It also reveals to us His presence. I'll tell you one thing. If we ever needed His presence, we need it now. He wants to assure us. Now, notice this. The words one with another are the translation of a preposition and a reciprocal pronoun in the Greek text. Wow. That's one of them wow moments. And most of y'all like me, you don't understand a bit more nothing. The words one with another are the translation. Now this is important because remember this, the Bible written in this language, so the people who study such can be able to get the emphasis of the words and how they're put together. The translation of a preposition and a reciprocal pronoun in the Greek text. A reciprocal pronoun shows reciprocity. Reciprocity. Which means not just one, but both. So not just one participating, but both parties are reciprocating in the fellowship Now, you see, when you look at the words that they use, and when John wrote that, he wanted to be sure that the people would catch the full impact of what he was going to say. So John, searching the language and finding a word, this word that he could put with this preposition and put with it, so that the people would be able to comprehend, it's more than going to church. It's more than sitting on a pew. It's more than singing a few hymns every now and then. God wants to walk with you. God wants to talk with you. And God wants you to talk back. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have reciprocity with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from our sin. Now, wait a minute. Whoa. How come John didn't put the blood first? Now remember, he's writing to save people. He's not writing to sinners. He's writing to save people. If you're lost, sure, the first thing you need to understand is the love of God and God's pardon by His blood. But once you are a Christian, your order changes somewhat by the illumination of light. We never do away with the blood. We'll always need it as long as we're immortal, every day of our lives. But we also need to come to an understanding that the blood of the Lord Jesus, these folks out here, friends, they're saying, oh God, I got drunk, Lord, I'm sorry. God, I got high last night, Lord, I'm sorry. God, I done this, Lord, I'm sorry. And they're going to do the same thing next weekend and next weekend and the next weekend. And then they're told by their preachers, look, that's what the blood is for. That's what the blood is for. The Lord knows you can't live right, so He made this blood. So, you know, He knows you're going to sin. So go ahead and sin. It's all right. You know, it's okay. Because God understands we can't live right. Yeah, He does, because you're not born again. But God understands we can't live right. So God, that's actually what He gave the blood for. He knew that you men would not be able to live in this day without getting on pornographic websites. And He knew you wouldn't be able to have a smartphone without acting like an idiot. He knew that you sisters wouldn't be able to stop doing this and that and the other, so he gave the blood. So that's what the blood is for. So go ahead and use it. Use it every day. I mean, just use it all your life and go out and do whatever you want to do, basically. And the Lord understands. Let me say this with the love of God. I hate that presentation of the gospel. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is the gospel of the devil. Wow. So the cleansing of the blood is associated with walking in light. So then, now if this is true, how many believes this is the truth? This is God's word. So if this is true, then when people refuse to walk in the light, how do they get clean? They don't. So you can imagine them, they're not walking in the light of the day, and they keep on sinning. These sins are accumulating. They keep asking the Lord to forgive them because all they're taught is from their pulpit, it's just the blood, the cross, the mercy, and all that. And so they say, I don't need to do this. I don't need to cut your hair. What difference does that make? Women wearing skirts. What in the world you have to wear a skirt for? What's that got to do with it? Because the light of the gospel shined on her clothes too. You see, the light of the gospel shines in every avenue of our life. It'll shine in your closet. It'll shine in your records. It'll shine in your movies. It'll shine in the books you read. The light of the gospel shines in every avenue of your life if you'll let it. And if you will let it, it will help you to clean out those things that grieve the Holy Ghost. But if you don't, of course, then you go right ahead and do all these things and you're still asking in the name of Jesus, oh, Father, forgive me, I lied. Father, forgive me, I've done this. Father, forgive me, I've done that. Hey, if you're a God, son, or prophet, don't you mention that to me. William Branham was a false prophet. Ah, you just cut off part of your forgiveness. You say you mean he's tied to forgiveness? No, not so much William Branham. The light of God in the age we live in. Oh, I realize some of those who've left the message, my, they'll love this sermon here tonight, and they'll cut it up and chop it up the way they've done some others that I've preached, and some of the other brothers around the message have preached, and they say they're preaching the truth and standing for the truth. You bunch of hypocrites, you're hell-bound. Taking preacher's sermons and splicing them and make them say things they didn't say and put them on their websites to try to project men of God saying certain things they didn't say. Well, let me give you another good one to work on. You'll go to hell for such. And you have no cleansing of the blood if you turn down the light of the hour. You can preach the cross, you can sing about the cross every day you want to, but if you don't walk in the light as He is in the light, you have no perpetuation for your daily sins. Look what happens. Oh, you're talking about a package for the family of God. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And while we're fellowshipping, the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. Tied with fellowship, with walking, and with light. We'll walk in the light, such a beautiful light. You imagine God had to provide a way that would be constant daily cleansing. Boy, when I first came to the message and I'd hear Brother Branham say things like, Father, forgive us of our sins. And I'd think, oh, Lord have mercy. Tell he is a Baptist. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't sing hallelujah. I was just a bag of wind. Ignorant. Come on now, some of you might as well say amen. You're as bad as I was. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin. Now, he didn't say had. Have no sin. We deceive ourselves. Now, you and I all know of people that think they live so high and so close to God. They have no sin. Well, you know, right off when you get picked that up on their spirit, though most of them will never say this. But they say it by their propulsion of their self and their attitude of their self. And they're high and holding great and above everybody else. You know right there, they have deceived themselves. And John goes on to say, the truth is not in us. Son of thunder is thundering out, ain't he? So if a man says, bless God, I make no mistakes. You, sir, are a liar. Or you, ma'am. Whichever you is. Whew. I live so close to God. I am sinless. In your soul, I agree. In your humanity, you're deceived. Look, friends, God is not wanting us as His people to strive for human perfection, but human subjection. There is a great difference. I give up a long time ago in trying to perfect this man right here. I want to subject this man. I want to subject this man to the life that lives inside of me. Oh, come on, don't sit there and look at me like a bunch of angels. Every one of you fight the devil. Every one of you fight evil and all that's around you because your body is not converted. Your body is not born again. And whether you like it or not, your body is very, very neutral. Which means it can be affected from the positive and from the negative. That's why you got to guard it and watch it. John said, if a person says, glory to God, I'm a preacher, hallelujah, I don't sin. John said, the truth ain't even in you. You see, a person who says that does not even understand grace. They still do not understand how high and holy God is and how low we still are. But they look at themselves as having have transcended mortality. And they got that holier than thou attitude. Yeah, they're the judgment seat of God. I judge you and I judge you and I judge you. You better be careful judging. Because with the same judgment that you hand out, that same judgment might be meted back to you again. Well, praise the Lord. You see, John had a great balance. Somehow I love this because he's the only one that actually goes into it this way. He said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So to believe that you've reached a place, a sinless state. You look around, wow, my goodness, I'm doing good. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't lie, I don't cheat nobody. Boy, I'll tell you one thing, I'm really getting up there, ain't I? I already worry about Brother Horn now, boy. He's Brother Tim Mullins, I worry about everybody else, but boy, if they could just be like me. No, believe me, we don't want to be like you. No, because you have deceived yourself. And the thing of it is, you won't say just self-deceived. You'll want to pass that deception on to others. Oh, glory to God. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's warm in here tonight. Notice this, John says in verse 9, if we, glory to God, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Notice, not saving now. We're not talking about a person getting saved. We're talking about a believer. A believer gets their fellowship broke with God. What do? They get dirty. They get defiled. He don't say they get saved again. They get cleansed again. What did the laver do with the priests? They would come and go. They went into the place of the holy place only one time a year. But every time they come into the tabernacle, they had a laver there. And there was a little spigot come out on the side. They washed their hands and their feet every time they went inside and outside the tabernacle. Because they got the dust of the earth on their feet. Well, come on, we pick up the dust of the earth on our feet. So what do? We come in and say, oh, sweet Jesus, wash me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. You see, John gives us two wonderful attributes of the humanity of God of coming to the earth, the Logos becoming human. In the continuation of the high priest's ministry, actually ascends up. Notice, John says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And then he goes on to reveal to us two aspects of the ministry, the continuing ministry of the Lord Jesus, that one is the advocate and the other one is the propitiation. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write unto you. Amen. And if any man sin, he is serpent seed and of the devil. He never was a Christian in the first place, and he should have listened to somebody else and followed their example. John's writing to children, little children. If any man sin, we have a paracletos, an advocate. Look at the meaning of the word comforter, summoned, called to one's side, especially called to one's aid. One who pleads another's cause before a judge. Don't you understand that our case was read, and before the judgment of God, God had our life in His hands. But out of the heart of God projected Christ Jesus, and from the hand of God He takes my case, and then my case winds up nailed to a cross. Amen. It was taken from the hand of the judge, and He demanded justice. He carried my sins to the cross. He did not turn His back and look at him with a blind eye, as it were, but He said, I justly will destroy Donnie's sins. I will take away his nature. I will birth him by my word. Then I will become his lawyer. I will be his paracletos. When Donnie needs me, all he's got to do is call on me. Call to one's aid, one who pleads another's cause before a judge. Counsel for defense. Brother, sister, there ain't never been a better defendant. An attorney of the defense. You're standing in good hands tonight. Legal assistant, an advocate, an intercessor. Let's stand. There are many blessings that are shared from the hand of God. Breath, life, sustenance, sunshine, water. Many blessings of God are shared by humanity who don't even believe in Him. Many blessings are shared by God, by both the bride and the church. But advocacy like this is only a family right. Jesus is the family lawyer. Praise God. You couldn't have a better one. This is a blessing, a right, an inheritance given only to family members. Now, what's amazing is that Jesus said in St. John 14 that He was going to go away. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Well, Thomas is there, and the other brethren, and they go to ask him questions. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way I go. Thomas said, how can we know? We don't know where you're going. We don't know what the way is. He said, Thomas, I am the way. He said, you've been talking about this Father. The Father. He said, show us the Father. He said, have I been with you so long, and you haven't known who I was? Then he goes on in St. John 15 and tells us, I will pray the Father, and He will send you a, same Greek word, parakletos, which is the Holy Ghost. Wow. Now either we got two lawyers, or we got one person acting in two positions at the same time. Now which one's your lawyer, Jesus or the Holy Ghost? Because Jesus said, here John says, well, you've got a lawyer, which is Jesus. And Jesus said, I'll pray the Father. He said that He'll send the Holy Ghost, which is the lawyer. And then Jesus also said, don't fear, don't worry, I'll come to you. Now remember, Jesus cannot be his own father, but God can be his own son. And Jesus ascended up, and he come back on the day of Pentecost under what dispensational claim? Son of God, Holy Spirit. Praise God. Don't you appreciate him? I just heard him again telling the story, and I'll repeat it to you. I heard it this week, Thursday. And he said, I read a story not long ago. He said, could be fiction, but he said, I think it would bear true in telling it right now. There was a great king many years ago. And he said to his people one day, those of his court, today is the last day you will see me like this. And they begin to say, great king, where would you go? Are you leaving? Are you going to some other country? He said, no, I will be right here. Now listen to this carefully. I will be right here. They said, well, what will you do? He said, I want to go out among my people. I want to chop wood with the wood chopper. I want to toil with the toiler, sow with the sower, and reap with the reaper. They said, but great king, we love you. We love you. He said, no, my mind is made up. So Brother Bam said, the next morning, the king come in. His delegates and those of the court were there. He takes off his robe and he lays it on his throne. So the presence is still there. It's just the body that's going to walk out. Glory to God. Let me interject this. What an if you shall see the Son of Man ascending up from heaven where he come down from? So the king laid himself there and he walked out in pauper's clothes. And again they beckoned him. Oh, great king, we love you. We love you so much. He said, I want to understand my people. And I want them to understand me. Brother Branham said he walked out of that court that day and did not return for many years. 33 and a half, maybe? Praise God. You imagine if that king did return. He had calluses on his hands, on his knees. Maybe acted as a stonemason, maybe done different things, pulled muscles in his body he had never used before. Heard people talk about his government, heard people say this and that and the other. If he walked back in that throne room, he could walk in there with such understanding of his people. He could then pass laws according to the justice needed in his kingdom. So our Lord laid aside his dignity, his omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, his all-knowing, and become a pauper. Not just a pauper in natural things, but in God wealth. In God wealth. Praise God. But when he left and he ascends up, Paul says we have a high priest which can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. We heard different prayer requests tonight. We believe we have a high priest that can be touched, don't we? Brother Ron Spencer was called this week by his doctors and told him that he has cancer. Cancer in the lymph nodes, cancer in the lung. But we believe our God is a God of miracles. And a God of supernatural. Do we not? Yet to be determined what type it is. Therefore, they're uncertain as far as the treatments, how they will go. But our high priest come to the earth as a man to feel our pain. No doubt Jesus healed folks with cancer. Because they had cancer as far back as the Egyptian pharaohs. So no doubt Jesus dealt with cancer and all kinds of different things. So we're going to pray. Most of you, probably like myself, you cannot remember all these requests that was read by Brother Aaron at the beginning of the service. And there's many more. And there's diseases that are rampant. People are scared to death of the virus coming from China. Remember, this prophet told us there would be diseases break out among the human race in the last days that doctors couldn't take care of, and it would fall on everybody without the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not saying this is that one, but there's going to be some come. So the Holy Ghost not only makes sense eternally, it makes sense in time. It's better than vitamin C. It's better than vitamin D and vitamin H and whatever more. You better take that vitamin HG. Holy Ghost. How many has a need? Your life, your home, your family. Praise God. Let's approach it with this understanding. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. So, if you've got something there in your heart tonight that convicts you, something that's wrong, confess it. Make it right. Ask God to cleanse you. And then let's bring our petitions before Him. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we have so many prayer requests. Me and Carol talk about it all the time, that it seems our prayer list gets longer and longer and longer. So many facing so many terrible things. But Lord Jesus, we believe as our high priest, we know that You suffered stripes for our healing before You ever suffered on the cross for our sins. So it tells us healing is a great priority to You. Lord God, I pray for these folks and their needs tonight. Lord, in these hundreds that are standing here, there's many, many more that stream in this service and many more that will archive it. So we don't want to leave them out, Father. We want to remember them as well. Heavenly Father, the different needs and requests that was mentioned at the beginning of the service, Lord Jesus, we bring them before Your throne. Lord, and we, as Your people, want to ask You tonight for Brother Ron Spencer, God, that You and Your mercy would outstretch Your hand to our brother. Father, we've seen You use him, and so many miracles and healings have transpired by him praying for other people. And now, Lord, he stands in the need of prayer himself. And oh God, we believe that You are God. We believe, Lord Jesus, that these things that we go through concern us. They concern You. They trouble us, Lord. So we hear our brothers and sisters that are suffering. And Lord, as humans, we hear of rampant things that's in the world that we're living in. And diseases that come up and eating people's brains out. And things that doctors can't understand. And Lord, we're so thankful that we have You that we can look to, Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, we just join our faith together for the needs of Your people. Lord, we don't want to just pray for Brother Ron tonight, but we want to pray for his family. We want to pray for their church family. Lord, I can just imagine how Happy Valley would be feeling if the announcement was being made up at his church tonight, but the announcement was about me. I imagine Happy Valley would be so sad, and tears no doubt would be flowing down some of our eyes. Well, Lord, this is one of our brothers, a fellow soldier, general in the army of God. Lord, we're certainly here to bear one another's burdens. And Father, we're just praying for your grace and mercy. We ask that you would help the doctors, Lord. We know many times the treatment itself can be worse than the condition if the doctors don't follow through the right way. So we're praying that your Spirit would move on them, Lord, and you'd help them. People think they don't need faith when they go to a doctor. They better have faith. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, you'd just be with them, Lord. And well, I pray for those that raised their hands here in the building tonight, God. Maybe it was a besetting sin. Maybe it was a marital problem. Maybe, Father, it was a financial situation that they don't know what the outcome is going to be. Whatever it is tonight, Lord Jesus, we ask you that you'd help us. Lord, I know that we ask for so much, but your prophet told us to ask for much and ask for great things. So Lord, we lay these petitions before you. Dear God, we know if we live, there'll be even more tomorrow, no doubt. And we'll be asking the next day and the next day. But yet, Lord, we don't want to just ask, but we also want to give you praise. We know that there's a divine protocol to approach, of approaching your throne. And we know we must approach your gates with thanksgiving and praise. We thank you for all the prayers you've answered before. We thank you for all the times you've healed us. We thank you for delivering us, for saving us, for filling us with the Holy Ghost. Thank you for every time you've spoken to our hearts, oh God. And we're believing you, Lord, that you continue to do so. Lord, I don't know what these folks are looking for after hearing these sermons. I'm looking for a closer walk with you. If you are preaching this to us, then Lord, I believe you're wanting to tell us, come on up a little higher. I believe there's a place that we can move up. Lord, many of them, they ain't that far away. Really, it's just understanding and recognizing it, Father. Oh God, thank you for the light of God. Thank you for the evening light, Lord. How we worship you, Lord. No wonder Satan trying his best to come against the message of the hour and attack the bride's light and the prophet of God and all that and the credibility of the prophet. No wonder he's doing it. It's to try to discourage that bride and raise questions in her mind. But the more questions they try to raise, the more we believe, Father. Our faith isn't based on news articles. Our faith isn't based upon some reporter. I wonder what the reporters in the day of Jesus would have said about him. I wonder if they'd had newspapers in his day, they'd have called him everything. They'd have called him all kinds of names, but the believers of that day believed anyhow. They didn't care what their priest said. They didn't care what the mama said, what their daddy said. They believed because the light of God had shined upon their hearts. Hallelujah. We know the story of this woman at the well. When she left there that day, she said, come see a man that's told me everything I've done. Isn't it the Messiah? Isn't it the Messiah? What was it? She was walking in the light as he was in the light. He was in the Messiah light. He revealed the Messiah light to her and it cleansed her. Praise God. The prophet said it put out them old scribes and Pharisees. What little bit of light they had, it put them out, but it redeemed her because she was a redeemable attribute. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Father. We love you, Lord. We want to fellowship with you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we forgive those that trespass against us. We hold no grudges, Lord. I pray for those who trespass against me, Father. I pray you'd not hold it against them. Lay it not to their charge, Father God. I pray for those that would devise evil against us here at the church. Those, Lord, that have threatened to take my life. And those, Lord, that have threatened the gospel, oh Lord. Help their eyes to come open before it's too late, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lamb of God, we pray if there's any mercy left, may our enemies come to light before it's everlasting too late. Heavenly Father, we pray for our children that are wayward, Lord. We pray for those maybe that are backslid, that are cold, but yet, Father God, their name is still on that book, Lord. We know you won't come as long as there's a one that's still not yet redeemed. Heavenly Father, may the mercy of God circle the globe. Father, may you search every continent, dear God, until you find that last one and bring them to their place. May every member of the bride be so filled with the Holy Ghost. May the Spirit of God help us that we fall so in love with you. And the brother told us in Shreveport, may we get so drunk on the Spirit we don't even know what our name is. May the Holy Spirit so flood us, Lord. Help us, I pray, oh God, that we can have such divine fellowship with the Almighty that this world gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer every day, Lord, and heaven becomes sweeter and sweeter. Our love for you, our desire for you, our goals, our motives, our objectives, Lord God, are more divinely inspired. Oh, Father God, we love you tonight, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Can we raise our hands, friends? Praise God. Now remember, this is reciprocal. Jesus is not going to raise his hands towards you now and worship you. But you raise your hands and lift your voices to him. And give him your spirit. Give him your body. Give him your soul. He will respond back by forgiveness, by mercy, by encouragement, by healing. He reciprocates in his own way. He'll not be told by us what to do. Oh, glory to God. Let us do our part. How many wants to just love him a little bit before we go? This is more important than standing outside talking about sickness or money or whatever after service is over. Don't you think so? To stand here in his presence. Hey, sing something for us. Let's just worship him just a little bit. Oh, praise God. Now he's anointed me to speak and anointed you to hear. But let's have a little time of fellowship. Praise God. A little us time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Father God. We bless your name, Lord. Our great Redeemer. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Father. We have, Lord.
And by strength alone, I've overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. Christ alone. My source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone will I glory, for only by his grace I am redeemed. Only his tender mercy could reach beyond my weakness to whom I need. And now I seek no greater honor than just to know him more, and to count my gains as losses to the glory
of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. And Him I place my trust, find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. Christ alone will I glory, for only by His grace I am redeemed. Only His tender mercy could reach beyond my weakness to my need. And now I seek no greater honor than just to know Him and to count my gains as losses to the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. In Him I place my trust and find my glory in the power of His cross. In every victory, let it be said, my source of hope is Christ alone. In Him I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said,
glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you imagine if you had to face Almighty God tonight? And God looked at you and said, have you ever lied? Have you thought wrong this week? Have you done wrong? You have to say, yes. Walk before my judgment throne. And say, oh God, no. No. What if you got up and started that way? And someone stepped in front of you and said, Father, I'm His attorney. You could say, thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I'll tell you one thing. If I ever got into a state that I needed a lawyer, I wouldn't want a Google lawyer. I wouldn't want somebody that just sits on their computer and went onto a Google site and read a few lawyer books and could use a little bit of lawyer jargon and said, I'll do it for you half price. I think it'd be worth full price to get a better one. I'll tell you, brother and sister, you could not have a better lawyer for your soul, for your eternal security, and for your daily cleansing. The good thing about it is, in this situation, the judge himself became your attorney. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for once again allowing us to sit at your table. Lord, from time to time we're reminded of Mephibosheth in the Old Testament, the last of Jonathan's, Saul's descendants. A woman grabs him one day whenever an onslaught is coming in and picks him up and heads out with him. And she falls. And the young boy becomes crippled. So by a woman falling, Mephibosheth becomes crippled and he can't walk. And David longed, if he could, to be in remembrance of Jonathan. Was there any seed left? And they found one boy left, one young man. David wanted to do an honor to it, Jonathan. So he brings this young boy to his table. This young man sits there day in and day out. Because of the fall, he was left crippled. But he was still called to sit at the table of the king. Because a woman in the Garden of Eden did what she did and her husband did what he did, we were caught in their transaction. And we've been left crippled. But it didn't stop you from making the invitation. Lord, and we want to thank you tonight for another meal that has been divinely prepared, sovereignly given, and greatly appreciated, we must say. Oh, we didn't eliminate our crippled condition. Mephibosheth sitting at David's table, he never did get up where he could walk on his own. But he was raised from the place of shame and disgrace to a place of honor by sitting at the king's table. People might have looked down on him because he was crippled. People might have looked down on him because he couldn't walk. They may look at us because we can't sing good, or we ain't worth a lot, or we ain't this or that or the other. That's quite all right. I eat things they don't know nothing about. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We do not receive it lightly. We thank you for this time of fellowship with one another, but most importantly, with you. Thank you for taking Saturday night to be with us. Hardly any churches in the Message have church on Saturday night, and we're kind of sort of exclusive on this, so we really like to hog your presence. So we thank you for coming in such a special way. It doesn't work for all them, Lord, but so far it's worked good for us. So we just have to continue to do as long as it works. Oh my, we love Saturday night with you. We just get another meal at your table. But I know us well enough to know by the time morning comes, we'll be hungry again. So I pray that you would help us come with an expectant heart to receive from your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And the saints said, God bless you, saints. Turrent shakes somebody's hand. Y'all okay with shaking hands now? Well, if you don't want to, just air shake, you know, just. You've been shaking all night, all right. God bless you. Church in the morning, 11. Go in the fear of God. I love y'all.
You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Oh, you are awesome in this place, Abba Father.
You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise.
You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. As I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, till we're standing face to face. I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace. I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. As I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, till we're standing face to face. I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace. I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.